Thank you, Brother Ken, Ms. Carey. Very timely with the message tonight. You know, the closer we get to the Lord can be painful. Think about it for a moment. The more closer we draw the Lord, the more we become like Him means there are some things that we're shedding in our life that needs to go away. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the message. I'm going to do something a little different tonight. Plus, no one be upset with me or aggravated. If you are, don't go tell anybody. Come tell me. But we live in a time and an age that's different, and I've been praying. I'm asking you to pray for me. I know that our congregation is growing, but it's not always growing as much as I would like to see demographically. And that will come in time, in God's timing. And I've asked the Lord to help me as I study and pray, not so much about preaching to the congregation I have, but just preaching to our congregation, including what's going on in our society today, credit to Scripture, and how it will help and encourage us. Whether, in other words, it will be meaningful, whether you're a teenager, a young person, a dad with a family of four, or a grandpa and grandma in the later years. I want it to be meaningful, effective, and something you can absorb and apply today. Does that make sense? And sometimes having that balance can be difficult, but we've changed a lot through the years. Now, let's just take for a moment as you look around this building. Do you think the building like this would fly 50 years ago? Ceiling's too high. The seats are padded. Why do we want people to be comfortable when they come to church? I mean, what are these fancy lights anyway? Come on now. We have changed. Things have adapted, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's a time. I grew up in a time and a place. There wasn't a choir. We opened the congregation. The pastor welcomed everyone, had an opening song by the song leader. He would say, y'all come, we're going to sing in the choir. There was no choir rehearsal. There was no practice. If we had a cantata or a play, then there was. It was just worship and preaching. And through the years, we've added and we've changed. And I'm not against some change, but I am against some change. And some things that adjusted. So we're going to do something a little different tonight. I've never done it here. I've done it a few times in other churches. But toward the end of my message, before I conclude, we're going to have a video of about 7 minutes. And then I'm going to come back and give a closing to the study tonight that has to do and will go right along with our study. They're not in coat and tie. They're in T-shirts. They're just regular guys, two guys that are going to be doing a little skit. And just like we're going to have a play and a cantata coming up for Christmas, and in coming years we'll do different things. But most importantly, it teaches a lesson and it makes a point. There, all of us have some things in our life that need to be chiseled away, that need to be changed. And sometimes we may have to step out of our comfort zone, as the scene is saying tonight, nearer to thee. Folks, getting close to the Lord sometimes means there's some things that have to change to get even closer, because He reveals things in our life that need to change, that needs to be shed, that needs to be added. And so if you have your Bibles, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I won't read the whole text again tonight, but I'll read some of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we read the text, verses 6 through 11, last week. Tonight, I'll just read some of the texts that we'll need tonight. Last week, we looked at affliction does not cause destruction. We're going to go through affliction. We're going to go through difficulties. It may get us down, but it does not have to destroy us, as we're looking at honoring God in tough times. We read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 8 and 9, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And then we ended up saying, for an earthen vessel to endure trouble, distress, perplexity, despair, persecution, being forsaken, cast down, only magnifies the life of Christ in him, if you let it. If you allow that. Now, tonight we're going to go on to number two. Affliction is for purification. Affliction is for purification. Now, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue on and read a few more verses. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, the blessings, and the joy of fellowship. Thank you that you're a God that is with us during tough times. Whether it's affliction, hardship, worry, or whatever it may be, Father, you're there with us to help us through. And we thank you for that. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, here in our text of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 17. For our light affliction is but for a moment. worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Mr. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon said, or wrote, God's choice makes chosen men choice men. We are chosen not in the palace, but in the furnace. In the furnace, beauty is marred, fashion is destroyed, strength is melted, glory is consumed, yet here eternal love reveals its secrets. Now, we could be prone to stop right here in this aspect of purification with our own purification, you know, and we look at our own understanding of why God puts us through the fire. However, we would be stopping short of God's ultimate purpose of bringing glory to himself. So often we need to realize and understand as we grow, there are growing pains. I mean, I can remember as a boy growing up and, oh, damn, Dad, my arms and my elbows, my knees are just aching. He said, son, it's growing pains. You'll be all right. Get in bed and go to sleep. You know, it was only ached at night when it was bedtime, right? You know, and it's the same way in our Christian walk. There's times that things hurt. Things might sting a little bit as we read the scripture. It's the spiritual growing pains. And the more we become like Christ, the closer we get to the throne of God, we begin to notice a reflection that I'm not like him as much as I thought I was. And the Lord begins to chisel away and show us things that need to change in our life. James also writes, adversity brings completion in the life of the believer. But the purpose of this ultimately is to bring glory to God. So when it hurts and you're shedding things and you're wanting to be more like Christ, remember, not only am I benefiting by being more like him, I'm glorifying him in the process. I'm showing, and others are seeing, the change and the difference that's taking place in my life. Affliction does not cause destruction. Affliction is for purification. And then number three, affliction brings transformation. I mean, folks, I don't know about you, but I was fortunate enough to grow up in a home where I was, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time there was a function, I was there in church. And there was times that, you know, there was times that I may not have liked it. I can't remember, but I never remember not wanting to go to church. Now, there's times that I was wanting to push the limit because there was a ball game that afternoon and I was playing in it, but Dad didn't care if it was the bottom of the ninth. And I had a no-hitter. He said, boy, it's time for church. We went to church. Period. I could be up with the bases loaded. Only needed one more hit to bring in the winning run and to set a record for the Little League. It didn't matter, son. That said, son, time to go. Time to go. Now, there's times I went to church in my uniform dirty. He'd make me dust off and smack me around, getting all that dust off my feet, off my uniform, off with the shoes, and went in on in the church. But we went to church. So often today that we put God secondary, but when we remember this affliction brings transformation, things change and we transform in our life to be more like him. And people notice and they recognize that, hey, that guy has changed. Folks, it thrills me, especially when I was a minister with the military, to see a young man that did not know how to talk without using adjectives that are not found in the dictionary. All of a sudden gets saved, his life changes, and the guys around him are saying, boy, what happened to you and where did the old guy go? And the answer was, I got Jesus and I got all of him. His life changed. That's a transformation when God moves in and things change. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's a process of purification, a process of transformation. Isaiah chapter 48. And verse 10, the Bible says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. See, this passage was written to the nation of Israel, but has an application for us today. God wants to change. He wants to use that chisel. Sometimes he's a little softer and he uses the sandpaper to rub off some of those rough edges. But sometimes he does have to get out the chisel. And we'll talk about that a little bit in just a moment. You see, transformations usually come at a great cost. The cost to transform land is very expensive, but not merely as costly as what we often personally experience in God's work of transforming our lives. We've all seen the shows, and Michelle likes to watch some of these shows. We watched some time ago on rehab, but something going on with transforming homes. I think it was in Mississippi or somewhere, where they're coming in and redoing homes, making them nice, beautifying their community. And folks, there was some work and some money that went in to do that. There was a cost But the end result was like, wow. Here's a good example. I'm sorry, but this is what you see. But in a few weeks, you're going to see a picture of a much younger version of Pastor Cook and Miss Michelle. And you're going to think, wow, his transformation went downhill for what I am today, for what I was when we first got married. But changes take place, and we do change, and we do transform as we age and get older. But that transformation within and becoming more like Christ, it doesn't matter what stage of life we are, people recognize. They see the difference. They notice the difference. And it's something that should be obvious as we allow the Lord to move in and take residence. Mount Rushmore was built with some of the harshest tools known to man during its construction. It was not completed with a manicure set. It was refined with explosives, with great hammers and chisels. I remember my first visit, and I'm a reader. I'm not a fast reader. It takes me a little longer. But I go to a museum. It takes me 3 days, and some people go through it for once because I read everything for comprehension and understanding. And I can remember being at Mount Rushmore, seeing the beauty, having an opportunity to look up and read some things, and noticing some of the pictures of the climbing up there. They didn't have the elevators and the cherry pickers, and the work they went through by hand. Folks, again, it wasn't just a manicure set. It was hammer, chisel, explosives, and things like that. Sometimes God has to use things in our life that may feel like an explosion. Believe me, I'd rather the Lord use a manicure set on me during some of the changes that took place in my life, but he didn't. He used other means. And folks, if we embrace that and allow God to make the changes, the beauty that we'll behold, seeing a wonderful, marvelous work of our Savior. See, God is not likely, to use that manicure set to transform your life. He often uses the hammers and the chisels. He is often more direct than we would like for him to be. It is only under these circumstances that we can be made into the vessel of his liking. And sometimes as a pastor, the hardest thing to do is to have to sit down and talk with a gentleman or a church or talk with a family and confront and be a little confrontational on some issues. But it's needful. I am so thankful as a young soldier that I had a pastor who would pull me aside. I sat toward the front row, about midway back. We didn't want to get too far up because sometimes we'd have to slip out the back and go talk with one of our children about their behavior in church because we didn't have a nursery except on Sunday morning. The other time, pastor's view was, it's training for your kids. They need to learn to sit in church. That was his philosophy. There was times I didn't like what he said. The first time I preached, he sat on the front row and critiqued me. From the time I got up, got to the pulpit, spoke and sat down, and handed me a little piece of paper. I remember the first time I spoke, he gave that to me. It was no hammer and chisel. It was a stick of dynamite. You know, driving home, I told Michelle, I can't believe this. And she didn't say a word. She just listened. Allowed me to think about it. Allowed me to read it over again. And then she reminded me how much Pastor Kirk loved me. How much he cared enough to make the comments, to encourage me, to help me, to handle the Word of God with skill. He didn't have to. He could have just let me mutter through and just encourage me. Hey, you'll do better next time. No, he made notes to encourage me. And sometimes we may have to say the hard things to one another, that accountability guides, those words of encouragement. Sometimes just living for the Lord speaks volumes. When people recognize and notice how we carry ourselves and the things that we say. Again, he is more often direct than we would like for him to be. And it's only under these circumstances, as I mentioned, that he can be made into a vessel of his liking. I want to read a quote by A.W. Tozer, and I'm going to sit down, we're going to have this video, and I'm going to come back and make some comments before we close tonight. A.W. Tozer said, "If God has singled you out to be a special object of his grace, you may expect him to honor you with stricter discipline and greater suffering, and less favored ones are called upon to endure." You ever think about that? Maybe you're going through some of the hardship. Maybe God is pulling you in line because he has chosen you to serve, and he knows I need to get you from point A to point B before you're ready. Pastor Kirk knew that he had to help me to get from ground zero to where I needed to be before I got out of the military and went on to Bible college. I was fortunate enough to learn some things before going to Bible college that I had ample opportunities, several opportunities to preach, to teach, to be critiqued, and to be encouraged. A chosen vessel. God wants to use each and every one of us in some type of capacity and in different ways. And sometimes we need the dynamite. Sometimes we need the chisel. But I tell you, I'd rather have the manicure set. But God knows what we need. And He uses that to get the rough edges away to make us more like Him. And yes, it can be painful. A generation behind us needs to see and to recognize what God's masterpieces look like. A picture of walking grace, a picture of a testimony of Christ, of loving, acceptable, the people where they're at, and trusting God to bring them where they need to be. And dear friends, I don't know about you, but God's still working on me. There's still things in my life that I would like for them to be better. There's times I feel like I'm a failure. There's times I feel like, Lord, I know I'm capable of doing more. Lord, how can I reach a community, an area that's one of the fastest growing cities more effectively? And I get caught up in the aspect of thinking results means obedience. Folks, the obedience is on our part. The results is on His. And we just have to do our part in being more like Him. Oswald Chambers said, "To choose to suffer means that there is something wrong. To choose God's will even if it means suffering, is a very different thing. No healthy saint ever chooses suffering. He chooses God's will, as Jesus did, whether it means suffering or not. Whatever God's will is. I would submit to you that there are a few ways in which we can honor God more by choosing to trust Him, even in the furnace of affliction. The question that remains is, will we submit as a church family? Gentlemen, as men, will we submit ourselves to His will, even if it includes the hammer and the chisel? Folks, I don't know about you. Asking God to show us, asking God to reveal to us in our prayer life, asking God to show us from Scripture, asking God to show us through the preaching and teaching of the Word, and then we see it, we hear it, and we get upset, that's the wrong response. Like the gentleman showed the pain and the discomfort. Becoming more like Christ can be uncomfortable, but the rewards and the benefits far surpass any suffering difficulties that we go through. Will you submit? Will we submit ourselves to His will, even if it means suffering or not? See, it makes no difference at what age we are physically or spiritually. There's still, until the time the Lord blows that trumpet, that there's things in our life that needs to be changed, whether it be sandpaper or whether it be the chisel. See, there's one thing I've noticed, and at the little video that was used tonight, some of those things that he was chiseling away with are things and promises he made to the Lord in his college days that had not changed. That first approach of the Holy Spirit where he uses sandpaper, that conviction of things that need to be changed, and we ignore it, we go on, we want to do it our way. And then before long, the suffering comes, the hammer and chisel has to come out to get our attention. Folks, if we're going to honor God, there's going to be times and there's going to be places and there's going to be situations that seem like they are tough and they are difficult. But we must remember, affliction does not mean destruction. It might be painful, but it's not destruction. Affliction is for purification to make us better and more like Him. And that affliction that we go through and those trials will bring a transformation that only the Lord Himself could do to make us the masterpiece that God wants us to be. Let's honor Him and submit ourselves to Him. They say, Lord, make me what You want me to be, that I might be the vessel in Your hands to be used for Your honor and Your glory to make a difference with others, to be noticed, to be recognized by the world of a young man, a young woman, a gentleman, a woman, or whatever category we fall in, that people would accuse us to be godly. What a compliment. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the blessings and joy of service and fellowship. We thank you for the tools that you've given us through your word and media and technology, Lord, when it's used in the right way. Father, help us to be mindful of using the gifts and the things that you've given us to reach the generation not only that we live in, but even our own generation, the younger generations come up, as long as it's within the means and doesn't cross boundaries of the word of God. Father, help us to be that reflection. And Father, there's times that we need to receive and be the hammer, receive and the hammer and the chisel. But Father, there's times in our life that you use us to lovingly to be that sandpaper of others, that others would see Christ in our lives or confronting and encouraging about their Christian walk. Father, help us to walk that delicate line of lovingly showing people and allowing the Spirit of God to use the hammer and chisel in the lives of ourselves as well as the life of others around us. Father, we need you. For without you, we are nothing. But Father, our heart's desire as a congregation is to be more like you so that others may see and come to know you. Father, help us to be obedient. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be help to you or assistance, please do not hesitate to ask. And let's strive to be that blessing and encouragement to one another and allow God to work in our lives to make the changes that he wants to make. Amen. God bless you.